Today's podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, and medical-grade ingredients. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburn, rashes, and other types of skin damage. And the best part is that it's safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for use on all skin types and all parts of the body, even with rosacea, eczema, or acne-prone skin. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the littlest member of your family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all your family's skin health needs. I have three kids. We have injuries in our house almost daily, and so it's so nice to have Active Skin Repair to reach for in my cabinet because I know that it's safe, natural, and non-toxic. We use it for things like burns or scrapes or cuts. My youngest daughter recently had a really bad finger injury and we were using it on her and it did not sting or burn her at all. So it was perfect. Today, as a listener of this podcast, you can get a special discount on your order of Active Skin Repair. Visit activeskinrepair.com to learn more, and to get 20% off your order, use code NOONETOLDUS. That's activeskinrepair.com, code NOONETOLDUS for 20% off your order. Welcome back to the pod to my husband, Marley. Your first episode was so popular, so I think people are going to be really excited to hear from you again, and this time under a little bit of a different context. So Marley is joining us today, and he is fresh off, what, 1.5 weeks as a stay-at-home?
Yeah, 10 days, crushing it.
Days under your belt, crushing it. So I shared on stories a couple days ago or yesterday. I don't even know what freaking day it is. We're just coming off of bedtime and like we're completely wrecked.
Amen.
I keep thinking it's a day ahead. Anyways, I shared at some point this week that you just passed your licensure exam for what is the actual title? I'm sorry.
I'm a licensed clinical social worker now.
Okay, got it. So this is something that you've been working towards since Otto was literally a baby when you finished your graduate program, and you've been working towards your hours ever since. Finally all culminated with this huge test that you've been studying for and you passed, which was so exciting. So now basically you're going to be a stay-at-home dad still. We'll get to that. But now with this license, you could do therapy essentially, right? Like would it be talk therapy? What type of therapy would you be able to do with clients?
Yeah, I could open my own private practice. The license allows me to diagnose. It allows me to supervise and sign off on hours for other social workers who are trying to get their license. It opens up a wide variety of things. But yeah, it would be mostly talk therapy if I were to go that route.
I mean, judging by some of the responses I got on Instagram, lots of people are calling for some type of dad's mental health, like gentle, respectful parenting, some type of dad resource, dad account. They feel like they're the ones doing all the work, doing all this research on parenting, trying to break those generational cycles, mm-hmm. do things a little differently. And they feel like, I'm speaking for the moms here, that they're kind of having to play catch up with their husbands to get them kind of on the same page and educate them and share all these resources. So just going to put it out there. Selfishly, I don't really want you to.
I am privately having these conversations with lots of my friends that are dads and moms too.
Really?
It's definitely something that's on my mind, and you know, mental health in general is on my mind, but particularly how it plays out for myself and other people in this stage of life when you're trying to balance so much. So I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I have mixed feelings just because I have seen, and you have seen because of me, the ugly side of social media and how it can take a toll on your mental health. And that part of it is definitely hard. And I think would be even harder for you because you are more sensitive than me. you don't have quite as thick of a skin.
No,
not that anybody would hate on you, but I mean, it's the internet. People are kind of brutal.
Yeah, people would. And I would probably feel some kind of way about it. And I'm aware of that. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm happy that I'm a sensitive person. Yeah. It means I feel the good and the bad.
Of course. I mean, I think, like I said, I think it's so needed, and maybe we'll figure out a way to make it work in a way that works for our family someday. But selfishly, I know also how much time it takes, right? I've been doing this for 4 years now while also caring for our kids. And so selfishly, I don't really want you to, because then I know that it'll take a lot of time away from me and the kids.
Yeah, also to be...
And that's not what we signed up for right now.
To be clear,
it sounds like... We signed up for you to be
stay-at-home dad. It sounds like you're soft launching a thing that is like not... that is nowhere near even being in the
works. Well, no, not necessarily. I think that we should just keep the conversation open. Maybe this podcast is a little bit of kind of like an entry. Maybe, I don't know, if people resonate with this episode, the last episode you did, maybe we could start to do more episodes and, you know, kind of start to bring the dads into the fold here, because I think they do need so much help. I mean, dads really do struggle with mental health postpartum too, and it's even less normalized for them to seek out support or to talk to friends about it, or
just the community that you've cultivated, seeing all the messages that you receive about like the impact that you're able to have on other people. I mean, that is a very enticing component of entering this space. Because certainly in my previous job, you know, it's nice to make individual difference, but if you can do that on like a broader scale, larger scale, then...
Yeah, it would be a huge scale.
It would. I'm all about helping.
I know you are. Well, maybe someday. But for now, you're going to be helping our kids and you're going to be helping me.
They are people and they need help.
They are people, of course. They need lots of help some days. So let's talk about this kind of transition that we're going through right now with you leaving your job, becoming a stay-at-home dad. Lots of people have questions about it. It's something that's still not super duper common. Like, we don't really know any families. We might know one or two where the dads have like taken a sabbatical or something like that, but we don't really know a ton of people, even here in San Francisco, where it's a stay-at-home dad situation. I mean, I didn't even really know any stay-at-home moms. At the park, it was always like me and all the nannies and the grandmas. Like, there's really not a lot of stay-at-home parents here at all. So, it's just a thing that's less normalized, I think. And it's really cool. So people are curious about it. So my first question for you would just be like, what we've been talking about this being a possibility for a long time. It's been more of like a pipe dream. And I'd say in the last year or so, it became kind of, okay, maybe we actually could swing this for a little bit. But for you, what was it that seemed appealing, or what was it that made you say like, okay, yeah, I want to do this, or I could do this?
You know, in thinking about it, I think that realistically there were three reasons that led to this decision. And I guess I'll put them in order of importance. And the first thing is I just want to spend more time with our kids.
Yeah.
And I may regret saying that. I may regret that decision. But
I was going to say, like, I'll give you like a month and then you can retract that statement if you want to.
I only ever hear people say to just grasp this moment in time, try to savor every moment because it goes so fast. I mean, it's such a stereotypical thing to hear from people. And I know that to be true. I mean, we have a 6-year-old now and it just feels like he grew up so quickly.
Yeah.
And I really do want to be present for these kids. I don't really want my mind to be elsewhere. I want this time. I've never heard anybody say like, oh, really savor these early years in your career. Like, they're going to be the thing you look back on so fondly. Like, that's not the case, at least in my field, in my profession. So,
well, I was going to say, your line of work, like, I don't know anybody that would be savoring any piece of that. Do you want to just tell people so they have like an image?
I will. I'll get to that. That's my third reason.
Okay.
My second reason was to give you more time to do what you need to do. I mean, realistically, you have been sacrificing for this family. You have built this Hey Sleepy Baby community and business, no exaggeration, with a child attached to you or in you for the last
literally
3 years. It's been really remarkable. And
it'll be four in March.
I know, that's nuts. I really wanted to be a supportive partner. And for me, that looked like getting you all of the support that you needed. As I mentioned before, like, it seems like you are making a really big impact for a lot of people. And so if I could be a support to you in doing that, then I would absolutely love to, because I think that you can really shine so bright and I think you can really do big things. And I told you that before you started Hey Sleepy Baby. So just for all of you out there who are like, oh, he's probably just gassing her up because she's successful. No, I told Rachel before this started that if one of us was going to blow up and do big things and put in the work and have the idea, that she really had the entrepreneurial spirit and the vision. And I was 100% correct, which is also, you know, why I decided to marry you. But the last reason is sort of the push. I mean, the family and you, that was the pull. And the push was just that I was very aware of my burnout in my current position.
Yeah.
I work for City of San Francisco, on a team working with people with severe mental illness who are refusing treatment, but are cycling in and out of jails or hospitals. So people who are really, really in a bad place because of the nature of them refusing treatment. It was just a lot. And I was in the Tenderloin. That's where my office was. So we were, you know, I'm sure if you've seen anything, if you know anything about San Francisco.
If you know the Bay, or if you've seen any documentaries about San Francisco.
Or if you've seen any of the sensationalized photos of like the homeless crisis in, I put that in air quotes, in San Francisco. Yeah. I mean, it is a crisis. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, it was sort of where the heaviest stuff is going on. And so I was there before the pandemic.
I mean, we have to keep confidentiality, obviously, but like some of the stories you would come home with and tell me about were just absolutely insane.
You were bearing witness to just...
There were certain things you couldn't even tell me.
Yeah, it was just, there was so much despair. And so I realized, I think, especially in the pandemic, that I just couldn't balance my attention appropriately. Like I had to come home and be so present for these kids and give them my best. And I just wasn't able to, I thought when I was younger that I would be able to just care more and I would just take in more. But I realized that I just had a finite amount of bandwidth.
But part of it is that you do care so much and like you internalized everything that you saw and everything that your clients went through.
Yeah. I mean,
it was hard to shut that off.
Yeah, it was hard to shut that off. But that I was feeling burnt out at the job and I was aware enough to recognize that I wasn't as committed or as invested enough as those clients deserved. That was because really my attention and my mind was with my family. And if I was going to preserve any sense of myself to be the best version of myself, that was really giving it to my family. And some people can find the balance. I found that I was struggling to do so, especially after the pandemic and sort of in the midst of what the system is going through. And so, it was a good motivation to capitalize on this opportunity so that I could spend more time with the family and allow you to do your thing.
You're a typical Cancer. You just want to be where your family is. You just want to be home. And I am so happy that you are. Like I said, this has been something that we've been like kind of dreaming about for a long time. Really didn't ever think it would be a possibility. But even if it's just short term for the next couple of years until like Lenny's in school or something, and we maybe don't need a parent home full time, or you feel like you really have the itch to get back into the field, like even just having a year, a couple years, whatever it ends up being, will be such a blessing for these kids to have more of you around, and will be a blessing for me to have some time to like breathe. I don't think people realize how much work this business is. And I think, you know, they see me posting on Instagram and they're like, oh, that looks so easy. And like, I get why people would think that, because that is the easy part of the job. Like that is something that I love to do and it's so fun. And that's really like where my passion is connecting with real people on social media. But there's so much more that goes on behind the scenes, especially now with like adding new projects like this podcast, or, you know, there's some other really exciting things happening soon that are going to be a shit ton of work that I'm excited to do, but that I would have never had the time or space to do if we hadn't made this shift. And we also would like to like travel more and just spend more time with family. And so I'm just really, really excited for this next chapter.
I'm always looking for screen-free options to entertain my kids, especially my oldest, when we have long car rides or things like that. And something that I really love using with him are podcasts. And there's a really cute new podcast called Mysteries About True Histories, which the acronym is MATH, M-A-T-H. And it's from the creators of the hit podcast Who Smarted and Netflix Brainchild. And it's all about the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories. And it follows these two characters, Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers. And they're on adventures through time, packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and it's really funny, which makes learning kind of cool. And it's perfect for ages 6 and up. So new episodes drop every Thursday, each stacked with so much laughter your kids won't even realize how much they're actually learning. And my oldest is about 6.5 and he loves stuff like this. So it's a great new podcast to introduce to your kids. The episodes are really short, like 15 to 20 minutes. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your older kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Now, if you know me, you know that I love to cook and I love creating healthy meals for my family. But even more than that, I love things that are easy and convenient. And even though I love to cook dinner for my kids, sometimes for things like lunches or if I'm just going to be working at night and need something easy for myself to grab, I love Factor's meals. And especially now in the spring and summertime where we've got more plans, we're busier, we're outside, we're going out and doing things more, having Factor meals in my fridge is such a game changer because they're healthy, they're zero prep, and they're so fresh and delicious. Factor's fresh and never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes right from your microwave. So no matter how busy you are, you always have time to enjoy nutritious and great tasting meals. And when I tell you they are actually delicious, I 100% recommend these. My mom even recently asked me, are they really good? I heard you talking about them on your podcast, but are you really saying that you like them? And I said, yes, you have to order them. They are actually so, so yummy. So what are you waiting for? There are 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons you can choose from each week. So you always have new flavors to explore. You'll never get bored with the same old meals. They truly taste like restaurant quality, so you don't feel like you're depriving yourself of anything. It actually feels like you're fueling up your body with delicious food that is real and super, super nutrient dense. So you can enjoy this effortless support to your lifestyle, choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage whatever goals you have, and simply just eat well-balanced, delicious, easy food. Head to factormeals.com/nooneToldUs50 and use code nooneToldUs50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. So this is an amazing deal. That's code nooneToldUs50 at factormeals.com/nooneToldUs50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% of your next month while your subscription is active. And feel free to send me a message and ask me for my favorite meals because I love talking about them and I'll be happy to help you choose.
Lynn, this time of year, parenting can be such a flusterclux.
You've come to the right place. I'm Lynn Lyons, and I've been treating anxious families for over 30 years.
I'm Lynn's sister-in-law and co-host Robin Hudson.
Join us for Flusterclux, a podcast for parents who worry.
Wait, that's everybody.
Yeah, these last few years have felt like one long anxiety attack for so many.
Why do you think parents are always surprised that a podcast about anxiety relates to them, even if no one in their house has an anxiety disorder?
Well, worry is human. Everyone does it. And anxiety shows up when we face uncertainty.
All the parenting tips you've taught me have been essential.
I love to break it down into skills we need to manage worry in our families.
We've covered so many topics. Depression, burnout, meltdowns, perfectionism.
Don't forget scary mothers-in-law.
Right, but of course that's not my mother-in-law.
Because that's my mother.
And a listener.
As a psychotherapist, I like to teach parents and kids how to respond to everyday moments in healthy ways.
Managing anxiety really can be taught.
It really can. And I'll even tell you what to say.
We talk about serious stuff, but without being too serious.
Anxiety wants everything serious. Anxiety doesn't stand a chance when we're laughing, even about the tough stuff.
What some people want to know is, I think, like I said, the idea of like a stay-at-home dad, especially one with 3 kids, is not something that's like super, super common. And I think a lot of people can't wrap their head around it because I was getting a lot of questions about like, how does he feel taking the kids out by himself? Or, you know, how are you guys going to split the load? Or those kinds of like logistical questions. So I mean, you're a champ at taking the kids out, but I know that you didn't always feel super confident with having them by yourself. So how do you kind of feel about that now? And what tips would you give to maybe a dad or, you know, the non-primary parent or caregiver? What are some tips to kind of gain that confidence with really getting your kids like out and about? Because staying home is like not an option. Staying home is the worst thing you could do.
That's like the worst thing you could do. I would just preface this answer by saying that I was 100% there. I used to be super nervous. I didn't know if I was going to have the right things. I get super bent out of shape when like the kids are like whining or crying in public.
Yeah, you get so flustered.
Internalized sense of shame about like being a bad parent or something. I can't be the only one that experiences that. But I think now I feel very comfortable with it. I mean, this is my third time around. I'm somewhat seasoned.
So does it just come with practice? And like,
it does. I think that would be the advice that I would give to the non-mom parent. It's just get your repetitions in, you know, with anything. All you got to do is get out there, learn from your mistakes. Like, did you forget to bring an outfit and the kid had a blowout? Did you bring the wrong kind of snack? Do you need to bring water? Like, what are the things? And for me, I just learned through experience. And so if anything, I bring everything that could possibly go wrong. And then I'm also just not that hard on myself. Like, if this is not a make or break situation, you're going to have these kids every day. And sometimes it's going to go great and sometimes it isn't. And sometimes, you know, 50% of the day is going to be great. And then 50%, they're going to melt down. You have really no control over that. Like, there's so many unforeseen things that are going to happen, you know, just about your kid's mood or how rested they are, or their nutrition, or maybe they had an experience at school that you don't know about and they're not talking about, you know, something that can just impact the overall dynamic. And so it's like, if you're so concerned that it's not going to go well, that you're not doing it at all, like, that's the real shame.
And I think so many of the dads or other parents out there might be worried, because what I see a lot, especially as the mom, is like, these babies want us, they're attached to us. They go through periods of, you know, like a real mommy phase or separation anxiety or things like that. And so that can feel really like rejecting for the other parent. And so I do see a lot of, you know, the dad maybe pulling away a little bit and saying, okay, well, I'm just not going to try then because they don't want me, or things like that. So how do you kind of push through those moments? Because our kids have definitely gone through mommy stages.
Yeah, they go through mommy stages, and I still feel some kind of way when that happens. Like, it's only natural to have something you love reject you for somebody else. And I found pretty early on that in the absence of you, actually being alone with them when you're not around was the opportunity to see how much they really enjoyed being connected to me and how much they enjoyed spending time with me. And so the other piece of advice I would get is try and go about it on your own. You'll learn so much about yourself as a caregiver. You'll be forced to learn so many more things. One of the most frustrating things as a stay-at-home parent, or even before all that, was me trying to assume responsibility for all of the kids while you're still around. Because if you're around, like, they don't care who we think is in charge. If you're there, they're going to decide who they want to listen to and who they're going to pursue. And so, you know, you and I have like a rule, or it's like, you got to beat it. Like, you have to be out of sight. Mm-hmm. They have to believe that you are gone.
That's why I have my little she shed.
Absolutely. And they don't even know you're back there most of the time. They think that you go on more walks than any woman in history. I know.
They think I'm training for a marathon.
They might grow up and think that you're like a secret smoker because you went on so many walks.
Oh my God. Yeah. My mom would just disappear for her walks for like 3 hours at a time. I know. But they can't know I'm back here, or else they'll come back here. I mean, sometimes they come looking for me, and Noe will be like knocking at the window. But for the most part, if it's like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. But I would say you got to get out of your comfort zone. Babies are going to push you in a lot of places. And so you got to lean into it.
For sure. And it's best for the baby too, for them to have those experiences of being soothed by dad or the other caregiver, or whoever it is, because if they don't ever have those experiences, they're going to have a hard time with it. So they have to just have that practice. What would you say you're the most excited for this like new journey, new chapter, stay-at-home dad life? What are you looking forward to the most?
Hopefully being proactive with doing stuff with the kids, like, I don't know, getting them into some extracurricular, or, you know, taking the initiative to try and do more like science-based play things or just something. I felt like in this previous dynamic we had set up, I was just like surviving, right? Like, I would come home from work, it was immediately dinner, bath, bedtime. You know, the weekends are pretty jam-packed with birthday parties and other stuff. And so I didn't feel like I really got to have any control over sort of like the things that we were going to do, or just following their lead. Everything all the time seemed so structured. And so I think what I'm looking forward to the most is just having more time that doesn't feel so jam-packed with plans, and kind of just to see where things go.
That'll be really nice. Yeah, we should just acknowledge that this is like a huge, huge privilege that you're getting to stay home, and I'm sure it's going to be filled with, you know, things that are hard, but overall, like, we're just so, so lucky that this is an option for us right now, and we're so thankful for it.
Yeah, I mean, the choice to be able to leave my work is certainly something I never thought that I would ever have the option to do, so yeah. This is certainly, like, uncharted territories. I hadn't even really let my mind wander to what this sort of life could look like. I mean, I'm realizing pretty early on that I'm going to have to be very intentional with it and sort of treat it like a job.
You see these, like, mommy wars online all the time about, like, it's a privilege to stay home. No, it's a privilege to work, or, you know, and really the privilege is just to have that choice, and that option is a huge privilege, right? So
yeah, totally.
All right. Well, we will keep everybody updated on the dad account thing, but for now, it's just going to be stay at home dad Marley, and maybe we'll get you to come on Hey Sleepy Baby and do like a day in the life someday so people can kind of see what you're up to and how you're managing like Lenny's nap schedule and all that kind of stuff. And thank you so much for recording with me tonight post bedtime. It's kind of like the only time we get to have a conversation.
Is this the
at
best
all.
Version of ourselves? I don't know.
But honestly, like, it's more talking than we usually do after bedtime. Usually we're like in our bed scrolling TikTok, or I'm watching Housewives or snacking or something. So actually, it was really
you and your
nice.
Girls.
I know. It was really nice to actually sit and talk with you after bedtime tonight. So thanks, honey.
You're welcome. I love you.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.